This 10 to page 21 lists are kind of like, continue to read from there. The lights in this world, in the world. Anybody who feel like it, would you please? And read the whole thing, please.
There is hardly a more persistent metaphor in the Bible to describe what God wants from his people than light. He told the Israelites that he had appointed them as the lights of the nations, Isaiah 42:6. Paul reprimanded Jews who lived in sin and yet professed themselves to be lights to those in darkness, Romans 2:19. Jesus challenged his followers to be lights set on the hill, Matthew 5:14. Paul expresses no reservations when he calls Philippian Christians lights in the world, Philippians 2:15. For movie stars and politicians, appearance is everything. For Christians, substance is everything. The obedience of the Philippian Christians was not something they put on display when their teacher was around. Whether the preacher was present or absent mattered not at all. Obedience testified to who they were and to whose they were. Obedience is not a burden God's people carry around. It is woven into the fabric of their lives. Obedience and joy are cut from the same piece of cloth. Mature Christians are aware that sin is not something one gets away with. Sin destroys. It separates from God. It is death. Obedience is the believer's gift from God, not his burden. 1 John 5:3. The Philippians were mature. They understood that godly living was not a thing to be enforced. They obeyed God whether Paul was present or absent.
Okay. You could continue, but start right there for a second. You know, light. Light makes you see things, right? And you know, when light is shed on a sinner, they get mad, right? And the reason why they get mad is you expose them. And they get mad at us for exposing them, right? You know, like they was doing all right till I got here. Didn't have no problems until you got here. And we should not be afraid to what shine our light. Let our light so shine that the world may see our good works, right? And the world, you know, they got some scary people. You know, real scary, you know. Believe me, I work with some, and I know you work with some also, right? You know, that light, you know, makes them look bad, right? But they don't understand that light is supposed to make their sin look bad. That light is not supposed to make their sin look good, right? It's supposed to make their sin look bad so they won't want nothing to do with it no more. You know, but until that light comes, right, they're having a good time in sin, okay, a real fabulous time, all right, and they don't want nobody to you know, just coming in and mess with that good time that they're having, and it spoke about obedience, and it says that obedience is not a burden. It's not a burden. It's something that we have to carry out, obedience. Because obedience is showing them that we are obedient to what we believe. And usually what happens is, right, when they are around us, either they're going to get it and come with us, but they're not going to get it and go away from us.
It's the obedience in Christ that makes our light shine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people will notice that. You don't have to point out their wrongs. It's just by the way you live your life, they mm-hmm. can see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And some will be attracted by it, some will, you no longer associate with.
Exactly.
And it's not that we distance ourselves, it's they will distance themselves because they don't want to constantly be exposed to what they're doing wrong.
Exactly. That exposure, they can't handle that. And I was like that one time, you know, hard-headed and stubborn to the will of God, you know, selfish, I was there. And you couldn't tell me that I was selfish, right? The light shined and showed selfish, but I couldn't see it. The light shined and showed it showed hard-headedness or stubbornness, and I couldn't see it, right? Because I didn't really want to believe that I was, you know, because sometimes we are, and we just can't believe that we are, right? Selfish, stubborn, whatever, that's not me. You only think that's me, but that's not really me, right? But that light, it don't lie. So with that light, it shine. That's what you are. You know. But some people just don't. They still stubborn to the point wherein, you know, they're not going to accept that. It's like you got.
Well, I was going to say it's that. Our way of living is because we incorporate that obedience into our life. Mm-hmm. And it's just become such a habit that, if one, it's not a burden anymore, and two, it shows you where you were at.
Exactly.
Before you walked in the light and where you're at now. And it's a really, walking in the light is a growing process. It's you're never going to reach the end. It's as you learn more, you incorporate more into your life, and your light keeps shining brighter and brighter.
Exactly, and you know you're glorifying God. You know the things that you do. Like I said, I worked on a couple of jobs, right? And you know, lunchtime or break time, the guys would go and smoke their little smoke and drink their little drink, right? And you know, I wouldn't go there. I would go straight to my car, right? So one time, the guy came to me and says, "You shouldn't be acting like that, right? You know, you're acting like you're better than we are. You know, you should come."
Well, again, following what you...
Brother, if you had your hand, I didn't see it. I got, you know, these...
It's all right.
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to ignore you. Please.
No.
Go ahead.
Just kind of following what Judy was saying and everyone else, it's written here for us.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 5, and again, I'll be picking up at verse 8, and I'm reading the New International Version, where it says, where it states, "For you were once, all of us, darkness. But now you are the light of the world for the Lord, light in the Lord. Live as children of light." And then a wonderful point is being made here, verse 9. "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness." Of course, that is subject to interpretation, but goodness, all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. And again, our admonition here, where you are doing the right thing, brother, by going to your car, where it says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness." That's nothing. But rather expose. And that's where the rubber hits the road for us Christians. Is to be able to tell them what you're doing is unacceptable to the Lord. Not to mine, but in effect, if we love the Lord as we should, as we mature into it, that whatever they do that displeases the Lord should displease us. "For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret." But But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
Exactly. And as I was stating that these guys, right, they became scary because they didn't want to work with me, right? I didn't do a thing to them, right? Are you with me? They didn't want to work with me, didn't want to talk to me. They they just like distanced themselves, right? And it became scary, like, you know, because I'm working, right? And if you're working by yourself, you're not getting a lot done. When you work together, you know, because I did brickwork. I was a bricklayer, right? Still is a little bit anyway. But when you work together, it makes it easier, right? Now, if I got to get the bricks, get the mortar, shake it up when the knee's shooken up, right? Lay it, strike the wall, brush the wall by myself, right? Because nobody else want to deal with me because I don't what? Deal with them. Deal with their way. Are you with me? It became kind of scary because I'm saying, right, I know I shouldn't do it, but I know what they expect you to do, right? And like I said, you know, it's like the laborers didn't even want to. Are you with me? Even the laborers, right? They would act like they, you know, but I would need something, right? They would take their slow time to get bring it to me, right? And then by that time, the people on the other end is up, and I'm still here, right? So when the boss comes, right, then everybody, you know, come back and, you know, right? And he want to know, well, Kenny, why? How come your side ain't up? Are you with me? How come it's, you know, right. And everybody else, right? So I didn't say nothing this time, right? So it went on and on and on, right? So I told the foreman, I said, listen, they're not working with me, right? And you know what he told me? You got to learn how to get along with people. I'm not going to go to that car, that place where y'all, you know, just to get along with you, just for you to, are you with me? But to them, I was wrong. You see, the light was wrong. Are you with me? And, you know, and they wanted that light to go out and you come into the darkness with them. Right? And that's just how the world is, right? You know, the world want to take you out of that light because, you know, when you really look at it, right, it's like, and I'm not saying this is true, but it's like everything got a little sin in it. Huh? Everything, like everything in this world got a little sin in it. That if you're not careful, right, you might eat too much of it. You might do too much of it. You know, it's like you go to the store, right? And you know you you got problems with people, and like you go to the store and you just go in there to shop for grocery, but there's some people, you know, who have a bad idea about your idea, you know, and it's somebody just want to give you a problem, all right? So the grocery store got a little sin in it. You get in your car and you travel, right? The streets got a little sin in it, because if you just doing the speed limit, right? You don't want to get no ticket, right? You're doing the speed limit, but this person behind you is in a rush, and you in the way, right? So what are you supposed to do? Continue the speed limit,
that's
right? Right?
And pray for that person behind you.
Exactly.
And let it go.
And that person see the yellow line, right? Mm-hmm. That line, that straight line. And that person shoots around you and give you the finger, mm-hmm. right? And go on.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So it's like sin is everywhere, and it's like it's in everything. Wait, exactly.
You really are hung up on that finger thing.
And just like
funeral yesterday.
Just like, you know, you go into the restaurants, right? Mm-hmm. You go into the restaurants and you sit down and there's alcohol, right? You used to, right? You used to, right? Now, right? Somebody gonna come and sit right beside you in maybe a table, right? With the alcohol, right? What I'm saying is, like, sin is everywhere. It's like we have to it's just like bad air. You gotta handle it. Go ahead.
This world is Satan's domain.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's sin is everywhere. You have something that's perfectly legit, perfectly good, mm-hmm. but man is gonna ruin it because of their sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important that we have that light to expose to sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you said, sin is rampant in this world,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it hard, especially when opposition comes from your own family. You see the wrongs that they're doing, and you're trying to teach mm-hmm. them, and it's like, I don't want nothing to do with you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Clint, if I give you a good analogy of that, just until they clamped down on indoor smoking, mm-hmm. these restaurants would have little sections, mm-hmm. would be a no smoking mm-hmm. section, mm-hmm. but it wasn't any different than the one right next to you, except maybe there's some lattice work or something.
Exactly.
But still smoking. It was
exactly.
All around that restaurant.
Exactly.
And this was the no smoking section.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't remember. Europe really had a hard time making that transition to no smoking. But anyway, 2 Peter. Again, I'll be reading from the New International Version.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be picking up in verse 6, where it states, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example
yeah.
of what is going to happen to the ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and oh, by the way, Sodom and Gomorrah, still desolate to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that place exists.
Okay. I heard.
Anyway, that place exists. Made an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued Lot, and we know that he did,
mm-hmm.
if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, and this is where the example for us today, who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men.
Yeah.
Is that not true today? Do we not see it all around us, like you're
yeah.
saying? It's here. Again, the encouragement that we receive, the hope that we have, the joy that we can ascertain from this, for the righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from the trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. We have hope. We have direction. We have guidance. And this is nothing new for us. Christ went through it. Mm-hmm. We can go through it.
Mm-hmm. So you read 2 Peter what?
It's again picking up. It's starting at verse 6.
Chapter 2.
Starting at verse 6. Okay. Mm-hmm. And following down to 10. Mm-hmm. 10.
Thank
yes.
You.
We live in a sinful world. That's true. But again, we have a God who's making a great example of how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus came to in the flesh, remember, to show us how to do it in the flesh. Mm-hmm. He went through everything that we're going through right now. Everything that we're going through, he went through for us to show us exactly how to do it. Are you with me? But still, like I said, there is sin in the world. And sin is tugging on our coat daily. Even in our homes now, right? You know, like we stated before, like back in the days, right? 50s, 60s, the stuff that was on TV, right? It was smooth, you know. It was some bad stuff now because gangsters shooting one another and stuff. That still was bad. And alcohol, smoking and whatever. That's not healthy. Are you with me? But it, you know, you would see Leave It to Beaver when the husband and wife is in bed, they would be in what? Yeah. Two. They have two beds. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. And at one time, right, when they would kiss, they wouldn't kiss for so long. Did you know that? In show, I ain't never been in show business before. Tried it one time, but didn't make it. Right, but they said that when they kiss, they weren't supposed to go so long. Mm-hmm. Now, right, you got it all out now on TV. Are you with me? So we just living in this time that, you know, even the computer, right, and that computer is messing a lot of our kids up. They're getting them in trouble, you know, real bad. Getting some adults in trouble too, you know, so forth. But sin is everywhere. It's everywhere. And so that light has to shine. Go ye therefore into all the world, right? That light needs to be shined, right? So they could see. And like I said, you know, when you shine that light on some people, they're gonna get mad.
I just wanted to add, along with what you're saying, brother, shining the light. We have a choice to let the light shine the same as they do.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the world, the people that you was using as example, the men that you worked with, people you come in contact with, your neighbors, your family, they have an opportunity, they got a choice to obey and let their light shine. Or to disobey. They choose to disobey.
Mm-hmm.
And because you choose to obey, and each of us that claim Christ as our Savior, that's what we choose to do. To let the light shine, to show this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the moral standard we're supposed to live up to. This is what Christ wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
They have their choice, but they choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
We can't feel guilty because of the fact that they choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the same opportunity, you know, to accept the Christ, to let their light shine also.
Mm-hmm.
But they choose not to. And they, if they say that, well, I never went to church. I don't know what you're talking about. We are the example. We are the ones to show them what you're supposed to do. They still choose not to follow that. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we can't feel guilty about letting our light shine.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, your boss told you, you got to learn to get along. that's not it. That's going the way the world is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we learn to follow Christ and do what he says.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's when the book is teaching about obedience is not a burden, uh-huh. right? You know, some folks think that obedience is a burden, right? As I stated the joke a few times that the little boy said, he asked his preacher, he said, preacher, he said, what if when I get to heaven, I'm bored? What if when I get to heaven, it ain't nothing to do, right? The preacher said, well, you go, that ain't going to be heaven where you at or where you going. You mean to say? In other words, you ain't going to get to heaven, right? It's just like to some folks in the world, it's, you know, being godly is too, it's too much. You know, you got to go to church. One time we used to come on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, Wednesday, right? And if we get happy, Thursday and Friday. Are you with me? There was a church, I knew of a church that I think it was every day. Wasn't it, Barbara, in North Carolina? I think it was every day. They had something going on. Are you with me? Every day. They had a school, right? They had a daycare. And I mean they was and the place was loaded with folks. And I mean good singing, good preaching, I mean good teaching. It's like everybody could teach. It's like everybody could sing. Are you with me? I mean that place was just right? And like I said, it was every day. Sunday, they had something going on. Monday, Tuesday, they had Bible for Wednesday, morning and evening, right? Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I think Saturday was maybe a cleanup day. I don't know. I ain't no member of that. But anyway, but obedience is it seemed to be burdenous to some folks, but to us is what we need to be obedient.
Congregation, and so she was asking everybody, "Well, do you go to worship in the church?" And so eventually they got to me because her place was 10 miles away. I said, "Yeah, I go. Is your Church of Christ right up here, less than 5 miles?" Mm-hmm. That's the place where you got everybody's gathered together. Yeah, we don't have no separation. I said. They said, "Oh, I don't know about that." I said, "Well, it's going to be the same in heaven and hell, too."
I tell you. All right, sister, would you continue to read, please?
Yes.
Lighting.
Lighting is at its best when it is unobtrusive. When electricity was new, a bare light bulb provided illumination. In a modern room, when one is unlikely to see any bulbs. The Christian offer is on the order of recessed lighting. You are lights of the world. The apostle says, when you are blameless and innocent, few awards are given for blamelessness. For some, innocence is an occasion for shame. Paul, a godly life, was oil in the world's machinery. This perverse generation gets along better in the presence of those who are above reproach, who forego grumbling, who show kindness. Mm-hmm. Until the Lord returns, Paul's readers who do not share in the full glory of the kingdom of God, but already they had a taste, already they shared in the forgiveness of sins and fellowship of the saints and the hope of eternal life. Until the time came when death was swallowed in victory, there would be suffering. There is no hint of self-pity, and the apostle writes, I am being poured out as a drink offering. Philippians 2:17. Life in this world ebbs away. His readers had their own burdens until the end came. They all will join together in hope. For the moment, they will rejoice. There is not reserved for the end of the age. It is for the present as well. For all its power, evil cannot tamp down the joy of the people of God. It can't separate them from the goodness of the fellowship of this Christ and his people.
Exactly. Evil can't, it shouldn't be able to do anything to us, you know. It shouldn't be, because the power of God is simply powerful. It's awesome. Are you with me? God, you know, especially when you could reveal it, or when you notice what God has done for you. And that thing that God has done, it was like you say, how did you do it, Lord? You know, how did I make it through this? The guy, it was a plane that went down in India, right? There's about almost 300 people on there, whatever, 200 something, right? But one person out of that lives. Are you with me? And that's something to think about. Are you with me? One person out of that, and that plane blew up. I mean, you see fire. And this man, he came out of this, right? And, you know, sometimes, you know, we come out of stuff like that and we say, Lord, how? And, I can't help but believe it, because it ain't no way I was supposed to get out of this.
Yeah.
Are you with me? You know, it had to been you, Lord. You see? It had to been you. It had to been you. And evil can't tell me nothing different. Are you with me? You know, evil, get away from me, because I've seen what God has done, and I know he's true. All right, generous and faithful. Anyone?
Perhaps no encouragement is more effective than drawing from our shared history. Moses told the Israelites to repeat the story of deliverance from Egypt, of God's mighty presence, to their children's generation after generation. Deuteronomy. The prophets love to retell the story of the people of God. Paul is true to form when he closes Philippians, reminding his readers of their shared story. About 10 years have passed from Paul's first preaching in Philippi to his current imprisonment. Communication between them had often been slow and difficult in the intervening years. He might have mentioned the beating he had received in their public square in Acts, or the jailer who had obeyed the gospel. Instead, the apostle reminded them of how they had shared in his ministry, the Philippians. New friendship can be exciting, but nothing is like an old friendship built on shared experiences, love, trust, and self-sacrifice. After he left Philippi, Paul had gone to Thessalonica, the seat of Roman government in Macedonia. He had been pretty much on his own, working to support himself, preaching where he could with 1 Thessalonians. The church at Philippi was less than a year old at the time, but already the people sent gifts so that he could devote more of his time to preaching. Philippians. They had barely come to know Christ when the Philippian Christians realized the importance of sharing the faith with all mankind, humankind. Paul was grateful, but he was careful not to leave the impression that he was hinting that they should send more money. God was supplying all his needs. He was confident that God would supply theirs.
Exactly. You know, it's in giving, it's very important, because, you know, it's something about giving. When you, the Bible teaches that God loves a what? Cheerful giver. When you're doing something for somebody and it's, you feel good about it, don't it feel good, you know, that you're able to do it? You know.
So when that opportunity comes for us, we acknowledge why we're even able to do that.
Yes, sir.
Because of God's
goodness
from the very beginning.
Yes, sir.
That provided, whether it's working with my hands mm-hmm. at a sojourn or mm-hmm. or sending money or sending a letter. It's because of his goodness, mm-hmm. his provision, mm-hmm. that we are able to do so.
Mm-hmm.
It's the unfortunate one who thinks they've got to hoard it all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's like the brother that we learned of yesterday, his millions of dollars that he kept talking about. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to take it with him,
mm-mm.
because he never had it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But the point is that we lay up our treasures on earth mm-hmm. right now mm-hmm. by doing the good. that we can't. Whether it, again, like this, like we're saying, it's better to give than receive, mm-hmm. because God has blessed us with that ability, capability, and willingness mm-hmm. to do that. And so hopefully we are doing what God wants us to do with the provisions he provided.
And you know, one thing about giving, you know, once you lose it, it's gone, right? Now, if you feel as though that you gave, you know, such and such, it's gone. That giving is gone. But God looked at what your heart was, your heart intent. You know, he looked at what your heart, because if your heart wasn't intended to give, right, it's like you're giving grudgingly. You didn't really mean to give, right? But if you really mean to give, you let it go, you really mean to give, right? Then God is saying, right, it shall return to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You see? But it's something about giving, right? Just like if you share something or you give something, and, you know, but you can't force nothing on nobody now. You know, I wouldn't do it anyway. If somebody said, no, thank you, let it be, you know. Just, you know, let it go. Are you with me? You know, I remember a sister, oh, she hurt me so bad, right? You know, because back in the days, I loved a hug. Oh, man, you know, Brother Patterson, you know, I just, you some of you probably remember that, don't you? Yeah. Tell me yes, please.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's right. But the sister, right, I wanted to hug her, right? Mm-hmm. Brother, she must have had a bad day or whatever. And I went to, she said, push me away like that. Oh, my feelings just dropped all on the floor, was spread everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. It hurt, right? Are you with me? Mm-hmm. But I didn't stop, I kept on. And then COVID hit, right? And then I had we had to change up a little bit. Are you with me? We had to change up a little bit. And you know what happened when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. You know, we just had to do the right thing. Even if we did want to do a hug or whatever, we had to, you know, just do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the help, not to help yourself, but to help others also. Are you with me? To help others also. And like I said, you know, when giving, like I said, you don't force giving on anybody. Are you with me? You know, because I could have said, sister, you going to give me a hug. Are you with me? Are you with me? I could have done that, right? Because I was bigger, little short thing. I was bigger than her, right? But I'm not going to force it. You know, hey, listen, I just took it. It hurt. Like I said, my feelings was all everywhere on the floor. You know, just like marbles, just roll all everywhere. I had to pick it up and start all over, right? But, you know, my intentions was good. And whatever, you know, and I accepted it, right? And the next time, you know, I didn't ask for no hug, right? You know, I understood it because... Until you come and tell me different, right? You know, hey, let it go. Let it be.
Well, did you ask her, hey, you done anything to offend her? Because no. You just let it be.
Yeah.
You never knew why.
Never knew why.
And she had an answer for you.
Yes, ma'am. It could have been. But I never, I just let it be.
So you didn't hug anyone else after that?
Huh? I was skeptical. Right?
We got to find her and call her and find out.
Yeah, I was skeptical.
We can fix you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I
just let it be, you know. Just, because it could have been, you know, I don't know what it was. And like you said, maybe I should have. But I did not. I just, you know, I didn't hate her. I didn't say I'm not going to speak to her no more. That's it, right? I was still there for her. And then what happened? And then what happened is, sister, one day she came to me and right?
Mm-hmm. And you backed away.
And I said, mm-hmm. No, I didn't do that. No. No. She actually, this happened. She actually came to me. It's like it was over, whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. Sometime after, right? She must have thought I said something about her or whatever. I don't know, you know. I didn't ask her. But later on, she came and, are you with me? And I was there for her.
Reconciled.
Yeah. I was there for her. I didn't say, look now, you remember when I came to you, right? You know.
If you had done that, you wouldn't be letting your light shine.
Exactly. My light is dull. Might be out.
Everyone experiences circumstances like that, no doubt. I'm one to believe there is no such thing as a bad cup of coffee. Until my mother-in-law, bless her heart, she made coffee, and it was bad.
Ooh.
And Kathy was, she was there, she's my witness. I did everything I did to keep it down and to thank him, you know, be appreciative and say thank you and let it go. And then when the opportunity presented itself, no lie, I found the sink and poured it out because it was that bad. But the experience I'm trying to share with everyone is just because you had that one bad cup of coffee mm-hmm. does not make all the rest bad. So we don't let that one event, hopefully.
And remember, Paul told us in his letters that we should greet one another the holy kiss. I bet you pass out. We got to remember that. We have an opportunity to give that encouragement, those hugs. I look forward to those hugs. I need those hugs when I walk in this building from everyone, if they will be willing to do it. But COVID's over, Brother Ken. There's no such thing as the holy knuckle.
Okay. Well, let me get this straight. Thank you for bringing that up. All right. Listen to me clearly. Okay. Please hear me. I have sinus problems. Mm-hmm. This is me. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. I be jabbing with my nose a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, if I decide not to shake your hand, mm-hmm. right? Let it be. Are you with me? Let it be. Let it go. It's just like, you got to think of it like this. I'm looking out for you just as much as I'm looking out for myself. All right? It's nothing. And what I do to one, I'm not a respecter of persons. What I do to one, I do to all. It's not a respecter of person thing. It's not a problem thing unless you make it one. Are you ready for it? I say, you know, let's do this, right? This is my holy kiss. Are you with me? This is your holy kiss. I respect your holy kiss. If that's what you want to do, do it. I respect that. I really do. If you, whatever, right? But this is my holy kiss. Respect that.
I can do that.
I was going to say that if you don't want somebody to hug you for whatever reason it is, let them know why.
Yes, ma'am.
I've tried to hug some, in fact, it was Shirley at one time, trying to hug her, which I always do, and she pushed me off, and she said, I think I'm coming down with a cold, and I don't want to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that way your feelings are not hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I went back in and said, I don't care. I'm going to give you a hug anyway.
Oh.
Okay. But at least she let you know why. And I think that's the way Christian life has to be. It has mm-hmm. to be give and take.
Truthful.
Explain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing hand sanitizer.
No. That's this group. This, like I said, this is what I would like for you to do. Let's fist bump. Let's do that. Okay? This fist bump.
But like he was mentioning earlier, when he had his episode with the sister and pushed him back, He received no explanation.
Mm-mm, none.
And so you are on the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
And then two, now that you're doing that to other people who don't understand, or that's unusual.
But
I think that you have to do the same thing. Be the light and tell them why you don't do that.
Yeah.
Now
this is why I don't do it. Right?
All right. I'm the same, brother, because I'm the same way. My nose run all the time when mm-hmm. I eat, when I drink.
Yeah.
But just like I was telling the sisters, even lotions, my lotion,
mm-hmm.
anybody lotion that I put on my nose is running, but like I told them, I said, I'm going to smell, going to be snotty. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's going to wipe my nose.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm just going to continue to wipe my nose because it's something I cannot
hear me. I love you all, and I respect you all, right? But certain things that we shouldn't even waste time being.
Oh, yeah.
Are you with me? Mm-hmm. It's just silly. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? It's just this congregation, what we need to do is we need to get our minds together, our health together, and go ye therefore. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Not this silly thing of handshake or you didn't shake my hand or you didn't, you know. We got work to do. Mm-hmm. You know, We exactly. We got work to do. We don't really have time for that. Really?
We do. Because what would bring me to want to bring others when the preacher doesn't even get close to people?
Well,
tell them what a loving congregation we have, but you have to watch out for Brother Ken. He's going to give
you don't have to tell them that.
Because I do.
You don't have to tell them about Kenny. Kenny will tell them for himself.
Okay.
All right. And like I said, you know, we're in these conversations. I don't even have time for these conversations.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up, sir.
You know, really. You know, we we need to. This congregation, I came here to help this congregation grow. Are you with me? And we're not going to grow with silliness, right? And I say it silliness because I don't have another word right now. But we're bigger than that. We need to move on.
But your marbles right? came out, and so did mine. You see okay. what I'm saying? If you could talk about what happened to you and your marbles. Mine were broken because you didn't want to approach
okay,
me.
But listen, I apologize, sister.
Me
but,
too.
But if you come to me, this is what you're going to get.
That's fine.
Okay. Do you understand now?
I do understand. But
you
I
sure?
don't want you to think it's silly when you can say the same thing
okay,
and
okay.
I come to you
okay,
to explain what I was okay, broken
okay,
about.
Okay. 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 It seemed like you was
right.
you was holding on to something for a long time.
No. I've been trying to get a reason, and you just now told us.
Okay. So you got it. You got it now.
I got it now.
Okay.
Everybody
Listen. I respect
now.
Your handshake. If you want to hug someone, I respect that. But this is what I do. Mm-hmm. Please respect that.
I appreciate that. Thank
respect,
you.
Respect. It's simple. And let's get on board and get this congregation moving. It's these conversations that we, you know, we don't even need it. It's taken away from our lesson and everything. Are you with me? Let's grow together. We're mature. Are you with me? The Bible says, for a time you have need of one to teach you all over again. We shouldn't be there. We should be the teachers now teaching someone. Okay, it's time.
I was going to say, as Christians, check your self-pity and opinions at the front door when you walk in here.
Exactly.
Because we all are unique individuals. We all have things about ourselves that might offend somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if we check all this outside and just can love that person for who they mm-hmm. are, then we don't have to worry about all of this.
And one more thing, right? The Bible teaches us that if we have aught with our brother, what we got to do?
Go and ask him.
Go to each other. To each other, not into a congregation. Are you with me?
But I'm the only one.
If you have aught with your brother, the Bible says go to your brother. And you know, talk to him or her. Are you with me? We don't have to bring it into the congregation. You bring that to the congregation later on. Okay? Let's grow this congregation. This is what we're about. Let's grow this thing. You know, our relatives that's gone away, let's try to get them back. Our neighbors that used to come, let's try to get them back. Are you with me? We have some people right now who've been here, and I haven't seen in a while. Are you with me? Let's go check them out. Let's see. Are you with me? Let's see what's going on. Why they're not here? Are you with me? Not to you know, waste time on something that's really not important, right? And let's do it with love, man. You know, we see. You telling me it's time to go, right? All right. But we see what's going on in the world now. Over there in Europe, over there, right? You got people hiding from bombs because the bombs is going over their heads, right? These people got a real problem. Yeah. We ain't got no problem, but look like we're looking for one. Are you with me? It's like we're looking for a problem. And then if we don't get our way, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to, you know. It happens. You know, this is what we do. Are you with me? You know, but I say to you this, right? Let's grow this congregation. Let's put our minds, let's get in our studies. You know, study so when we get to somebody, we know what to say. Are you with me? Because you don't bring nobody here for me. You bring it for Christ. Yeah, are you with me? Are you with me? So tell them about the Lord. Tell them about Christ, right? And then I'll help you tell them about Christ. But once again, if you got aught with your brother, go to him, go to her. Not in a setting. Are you with me? But go to him or her. Okay, Brother McLaughlin, you want me to be quiet?
No. Our time is up. I was going to make a comment, but I think enough been said and our time is over, so okay. I'll save it for another time.
All right. Are y'all with me?
With you.
Amen.